This program is not being used to make diagnosis, administer treatment, prescribe medication, or order tests. The information contained in this program is provided as an educational service. This program is not a replacement for the relationship you have with your healthcare provider. If you have concerns about your health, please contact your healthcare provider immediately.
Welcome to Your Health Connection. I am Dr. Ronald A. Johnson, president of Clark Atlanta University. This program was made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University, by WCLK 91.9 FM, and by Clark Atlanta University itself. Your Health Connection focuses on today's healthcare information to help you improve your quality of life.
You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. On today's program, we're discussing cancer in the African American community. April is National Minority Health Month, and we are here to talk about it live with our guests, health advocate Shay Traylor, and also health advocate Monica Ponder. April Belgrave also joins us on today's program. She is a study monitor for Georgia CORE, the Center for Oncology Research and Education. And you need to be in on this conversation. You can join us with your questions about cancer in the African American community. Call us at 404-880-9255. You can also join us on Twitter at CCRTD. I'm Paula Gwynn Grant, and I think this is a topic we definitely need to give attention to, which is the reason we're focusing on it here on Your Health Connection, cancer in the African American community. Shay Traylor, you are in the community doing education, community engagement, teaching all the time on cancer, the effects, the way that we can live a healthier life, whether it's with the diagnosis of cancer in our life or trying to assist someone who's working through cancer or already has been successful and is a survivor. So when we say this National Minority Health Month and you hear cancer in the African American community, where do you start when you're out in the community talking about this?
Well, the first thing I would like to do is discuss the reasons why cancer seems to be so rampant in the African American community. Our health, our eating habits, the way we manage our health care by whether we go to the doctor or not, whether we find things and ignore it, or whether we find things and actually go to the doctor and have it followed up on, whether we go for those recommended mammograms or recommended prostate exams. Mm-hmm. I found that it's really, really common that our people don't go.
That African Americans in general just do not go to the doctor?
Well, some of them go when they have a known diagnosis like mm-hmm. high blood pressure or heart problems or diabetes. But if they find something like a female may find a lump in her breast, well, the chances of her going to have a mammogram are slim. And I try to educate people on the importance of doing the self breast exams. And if you find something abnormal, go to the doctor to get it checked.
Even if you don't have insurance. I know a barrier in the African American community and others.
Yes.
But insurance often dictates whether we feel we can make an appointment.
Yes. Well, the important thing is, well, about insurance is there's emergency Medicaid if you are diagnosed.
Wonderful.
So there's no reason not to go. And we mm-hmm. need to, and I encourage them to really follow up on it. And our men are so bad about going to have their prostate exam. It's a stigmatism in the male community, in the African American community. And the prostate diagnosis or prostate cancer diagnosis is high in African American men.
They don't get to the doctor soon enough. Is that
exactly
what
exactly? And by the time they go, it has already spread. And so it's recommended that they start having prostate exams at least by 50, and they won't go.
Now, what is in that? Why are they not going? Do you ever hear feedback when you're in the community doing your talks and your seminars? What are some of the reasons that African-American men do not make that health appointment?
They don't want their prostate checked. It's because of how the procedure is done.
So, okay, they're afraid of the digital rectal exam.
Yes.
And that fear is enough that it keeps them away from the doctor until they absolutely feel they have to
exactly.
go.
Exactly. I've heard the story time and time again of somebody, an older black man, sneezing and breaking his hip. Mm-hmm. And you wonder why. Well, mm-hmm. it's because he had prostate cancer that spread to the bones mm-hmm. and weakened the hip. And therefore, he had metastatic prostate cancer, which is much more harder to treat mm-hmm. than early stage prostate cancer.
Goodness, Shay Traylor is always in the community. Thank you, Shay. Monica Ponder, I know you're in the community, and you too often speak with us in the community and educate us on the ways that we can live healthier. Your thoughts on African Americans, the community in general, and the effect of cancer in the African American community. Monica?
Yeah, I have to reiterate what Shay said, especially being on the ground, touching mm-hmm. people and listening and hearing and understanding the challenges firsthand. I think perception is the perception of the healthcare system, perception of even their own risk and vulnerability, cultural influences in terms of how we eat, even patterns in terms of how we spend our free time, less on physical activity and maybe more on more leisure things that aren't really getting our heart active. But in terms of public health, which is my area of work, several issues came up, but definitely, Shay, I think the biggest one is interpersonal and understanding who we're speaking to when we're delivering health information, but also the clinicians and healthcare providers being able to be culturally competent and speak the language that will be received and culture or nurture trust amongst African American patients so that they come back for follow-up visits, so they have routine checkups. And even social supports. So particularly black men, one thing I found in my research is that usually their partners, their significant others, are very influential in terms of helping them manage mm-hmm. chronic diseases, including cancer, treatment, sure. and even prevention, but also in encouraging these periodic visits. So making sure that we have a collective conversation and attitude around engaging with our health and making sure we monitor these vitals.
I think that's critical. 404-880-9255 is our telephone number for you to connect with your questions here on Your Health Connection. We're talking about cancer in the African American community. Has cancer touched your life? In the African American community, we find we are slower to go to the doctor. There's distrust. April Belgrave, you are in the community. You're a study monitor specifically for Georgia Core, where you're getting at oncology research and you're out in the community with education. And Monica just mentioned cultural sensitivity. And when you talk about cancer in the African American community, is there an impact on how we treat our health today when we look at the history of us as African Americans in the U.S.?
Oh, absolutely. I think that actually plays a huge part of it when it comes to African Americans and the health system. It's just kind of been instilled in us from, for a long time. You think about Tuskegee experiment. You think about Henrietta Lacks, which is one more recently. And there's many others. And so that affects our people, and sometimes we don't even understand, or we don't even recognize that because of these, historical events, they've translated to us today into our psyche, and so that influences the way that we treat ourselves or not. Mm-hmm. So a lot of my work at Georgia Core, as a study monitor, so what I do is I work on a NCI-sponsored community oncology research program. It's called the NCORE, and so the goal of that program is to reach minorities and underserved populations to get us on clinical trials because we don't participate as we, as our counterparts.
Is that because, again, of the history?
Correct.
We're afraid to enter into a study because there has been historical, and as you said, April, that you folks can look this up. When you look at African-American history, and we're talking about cancer in the African-American community in the U.S. here, specifically this evening on Your Health Connection, I think that is an important tie because if you're trying to get African-Americans, male and female, for us to participate in clinical trials, the first thing we think are all the human experiments that was done on us.
Absolutely.
And that was done without our consent.
Absolutely.
By the way. And so now to raise our hands and actively decide to participate, there's a distrust, is there not?
There is a distrust, but there's also research that's shown that, some of the younger generations, they don't have that distrust as much as maybe mm-hmm. the older population. So it also goes back, ties into like education. So a lot of my job and work at Georgia Core, we do a lot of education. Educating physicians, educating research coordinators, educating mm-hmm. like data managers, anybody in the research realm because they also sometimes have a stigma because of those historical events that they may go into the room and they see someone that looks like me or you and they say, okay, well, you're not going to go on a clinical trial, and they make that decision for you. And so they may not even offer that to you. So we have to, you know, I think conversation is great. So I think this is an awesome, you know, platform that we're talking about this during this month because we need to talk about it. We need to have the conversation. It's uncomfortable. A lot of times we don't want to talk about things. Like within my own family, we don't talk about things.
Oh, that's true in a lot of our families, April.
We don't talk about things.
It's true.
I was just talking to my grandmom 2 days ago, and she's like, oh, I went for my yearly exam. And I was like, okay, so, you know, what was it? Oh, well, it was just the yearly. And that was it.
And that was all you got. And she was, in other words, saying, I'm not telling you, honey.
I know that means
I'm
stop.
Done. That's right.
But we have to have those conversations.
We have to have those conversations. And we want to, this is what the purpose of this show is. This is Your Health Connection here on WCLK. We're talking about cancer in the African American community. We're just to make sure that during this National Minority Health Month, we bring this to the table and have the open conversation that April Belgrave is encouraging us all to have in our families. But tonight, you can get specific questions answered by the experts we have here and our health advocates. National Minority Health Month, that is this month, and we're talking about cancer in the African American community. 404-880-9255. 404-880-9255. Also on Twitter at CCRTD. Monica, you were talking about in your work how the cultural sensitivity is so important. So when we're talking about cancer in the African American community and the history of African Americans here in the U.S., are there any statistics when you look at the historical references of where African Americans live now? Are there higher rates of cancer in any particular areas where historically there have been a lot of African Americans? Perhaps there's been an influence of those parts of the country on our health?
Actually, there is. So there is a field called social epidemiology. So it takes the statistics and influences it or transposes it with our society and how we live and who we are as America. And there's a researcher at Emory, and he looked at slavery and heart disease. But I think because we're in the stroke belt, I think a lot of this translates over to other chronic conditions as well. Mm-hmm. And one thing he found and is an advocate for in terms of prevention is that in counties where there was sharecropping, lynching, convictions, high imprisonment, Jim Crow laws, mass incarceration. So a lot of these, I would say zip codes, but zip codes didn't exist then, so they had to look at different parcels, and there's a scientific method to that. Blacks who remained here, so a lot of blacks got out of the South.
Yes.
But blacks who remained here have the highest rates of heart disease nationally, even compared to blacks who migrated out of the South.
Now,
so what does that tell you?
Yeah, that's interesting. What are the reasons? Has he found in his data any reasons for that, any indicators?
Well, I think, so I'm from South Georgia, just in full disclosure. I'm from Albany, Georgia. And my statistic for Albany, it used to be that it was the fifth largest city. That I don't think that's true anymore. But it was that it's the location of Martin Luther King's only unsuccessful march. And so I say that because I think that it prepared me for America in a way that was very unique, because Albany still has a lot of that residual. And so my family remained in the South. And I think that comes from many different factors. Economics is probably a big one.
Sure,
and you know, you couldn't just pack up your bags and go, hey, let me find a job in New York when slavery ended and subsequent laws and seasons in our nation's history came. So my family was between here and Tuskegee. Mm-hmm. But I will say this. I think that African Americans did the best that they could.
Absolutely.
And in that comes such a heaviness of stress, strife.
Sure.
Just survival and the stress that comes with, I think they call it like John Henryism. It's this, you carry it every day, this heaviness. So I think prevention in some ways is a luxury.
And
is a luxury, and that's a perception.
That is a perception, but it is often thought of that
way. It's often thought of that way, as well as access to, or choices to, for healthy foods, how we spend our time. But that a lot of that is conditioned.
Yes.
And so I do think it's a relic of old slavery and our Southern culture. And that's why we have this this southeastern belt of the U.S. that has some of the highest rates of chronic conditions. So to your point, yes, definitely where we live and the history of our country affects what we see happening in African-American communities today.
And the rate of cancer and the type of cancers in the African-American community. That's what we're talking about, and we would love you to join this conversation. Cancer in the African-American community, 404-880-9255, on Twitter, at CCRTD. So when we look at this and we say, okay, I hear you, I should be getting to the doctor, and I should do that early when I'm trying to care for myself now, today, as an African-American. Can you talk to us about, first of all, what are the types of cancers that we see the most in the African-American community, Shea Traylor? Are there some common types?
Yes, there are. And they would be colon cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. And those are the highest rates, men and women, African-American
yes.
men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Interesting. Any data, any more you could tell us about? How did those rise? And did our grandparents, I mean, what I often wonder is, here we are, you know, in the 21st, and it's like, oh, wow, did our grandparents deal with this? Or was it just not recognized, not diagnosed as much?
Mm-hmm. I think that it wasn't recognized. Like she said earlier, we are so caught up with working, taking care of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And back in the old days, there was, you know, sharecropping and different things, and they just didn't go to the doctor. They went through these things, and they would get sick, but they worked through it. And my grandmother told me that her father was a sharecropper, and he died with colon cancer.
Mm.
Well, he never went to the doctor.
Right.
He never, and when it finally got to the point where he had to find out what was wrong, it was too late.
Right.
And I think that was part of the problem.
We're talking about cancer in the African-American community. Please call with your questions, 404-880-9255. Let's go to Roderick in Stone Mountain. Hello, Roderick. Go ahead with your question on Your Health Connection.
Yes, I have a question concerning the causes of cancer. I want to know what your thoughts on all the research that's being done and being said about the environmental causes of cancer, whether it's from the water that we're drinking, or from the soil that is being contaminated for environmental contaminants and chemicals, or whether it's from the workplace that we work in. You know, have we thought about, has there been some discussions about that might be in some of the root cause of what's causing cancer? I know that you deal with the results of it as it has appeared, but what we talk about, we don't talk enough about the environmental factors that come into play, and I was wondering what was your thoughts on that.
Great question. Thanks so much, Roderick. Environmental factors. Excellent question. The causes of cancers. You know, there is so much going on with our water. And you know, we look at Flint, Michigan today and we say, oh, my goodness, look at the health impacts there that we know about today. And long term, we shall see. And so now we're further enough out from incidents that occurred many years ago. Great question from Roderick. Any thoughts?
Yes.
Go ahead. Okay. Go ahead, Shay.
There's a lot of research that is being done trying to find why, what is causing this.
Mm-hmm.
They found that there's a lot of things in the environment that are causing it. One in particular, back in the day, but you know, there were when they built buildings and different things, they used asbestos.
Right.
At that point, they didn't know that it was going to be as caustic as it is,
mm-hmm.
or as it turned out to be. And it turned out to, they found that it caused cancer. There were a lot of things that they used that in the environment when you went to work or things that you ate, the fertilizers that they used, mm-hmm. that they found recently, they do cause cancer. What's causing it now? They're still researching it. It could be hereditary. There are certain cancers that are, the genes are mutated and it can cause you to have cancers, different breast types of cancer, different colon types of cancers.
Mm-hmm.
They're also looking at your habits, your lifestyle. Do you exercise? Do you eat right? Do you smoke? Do you not smoke? Those types of things. Because what cancers are, everybody has free radicals in their bloodstream. Cancers are free radicals that are opportunistic, and different things that we do or eat or are around will cause our immune system to not be as strong as it should be to fight off the different free radicals.
Right.
And they start growing and become mutated and turn into cancers.
And that's the cancer.
Mm-hmm. And so they have not yet pinpointed in each case what specifically causes it.
Exactly.
But they have a general idea.
And the contributing factors.
Yes.
We're talking about cancer in the African American community. April, you deal with this all the time when you're at Georgia Core. I mean, you study the research and you educate us on these causes, environmental factors. Do you have anything else to add to that? Is it the water? Is it the soil? What about the workplace aspect of what Roderick was asking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, I think Roderick is really on point. I think it's a combination of all of those things, mm-hmm. and then probably some things that we don't even know of today yet. But environment definitely plays a big factor. In my work, I've traveled across the state and visited different cancer centers to do, you know, research. And so I was just in Savannah maybe a month or so ago, and I go there at like every 3 to 6 months. This particular time I stayed downtown, woke up mid-morning, and I couldn't breathe. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, there was a smell that, like, ruminated through the building, like, through the walls. And so the next day, I spoke to those people there, and they're like, oh, but that's just a paper mill. And I was like, okay. So did you not smell that? Like, I left, like, I had teary eyes. I couldn't, had difficulty breathing. I was sick, actually, when I came back. And so I say all that to say, when I spoke to someone there who was also a researcher, and I did my own research when I got back, the paper mill that they now release those fumes at night because they figure, I guess, people are sleeping.
Ah.
And so it won't affect them as much, but you're still sleeping and you're still breathing in that material.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the people who've been there all their lives, it doesn't affect them. They were like, oh, we didn't even smell that. And I'm like, this is clearly a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so turn that into the cancer piece. People in Savannah have a high incidence of stomach cancer, and they make a direct correlation with that to the paper mill. And so that's an environmental factor,
yes,
which leads to cancer. So I definitely think absolutely the environment plays a big part of it. Also, you know, the way we eat, like Monica said, our lifestyle or lack thereof.
Right.
It's many factors, but I absolutely agree with Roderick that the environment is a huge factor.
And we need to pay attention to these things. Like, you noticed it.
Absolutely.
You know, don't let it go. Don't chalk it up to, oh, it's just this, when it really could be greatly impacting your health now and then in the future
absolutely.
As well. We're talking about cancer in the African American community here on Your Health Connection on WCLK. This announcement, in the interest of public health, is made possible by the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. When it comes to a man's waist, size does matter. Men who are overweight are more likely to be diagnosed with advanced prostate cancer and more likely to have a recurrence of the disease after treatment. Gradually ease into changing your eating habits. Start by always leaving a little extra on your plate or drinking water instead of soda. Aim for behavior change goals that you know you will be able to maintain over the years, not just weeks. Talk to your doctor about it. More information is available at ccrtd.cau.edu.